The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Money FM 89.3, best of weekends.
Paralympics are coming up.
Yes, hopefully.
Hopefully, although who knows?
Well, yeah.
Who knows, right? I mean, they haven't said they're not coming up, but we will soon see if they are or not. It is my extreme pleasure to welcome Gregory Burns to the show, gold medal Paralympian, a painter, professional painter, a longtime resident of Singapore. Gregory, great to have you on the show. Good to see you again.
Great to be back, Glenn. And nice to meet you, Neil.
Hey, hey, it's an honor. Thank you so much for coming on.
So, Greg, tell us about, you know, we got the Paralympics coming up. First of all, do you think, I mean, I know you're not involved in the process, but do you think it's actually going to happen? Or do you think that given what's going on in Tokyo with COVID and whatever else, that they may just, you know, kind of pull the rug out and say maybe not?
Yeah, I don't want to jinx it, but that's certainly a possibility. You would think that, you know, they got it over the line with the broadcast rights for the Olympics. The Paralympics broadcast rights may or may not be as substantial, so maybe a little less reason to push it. That's my being, you know, totally blunt but I'm everything I hear so far is good. Everything, you know, if you go to the IPC websites and everything, the Olympic websites, it's all a go. So let's keep our fingers crossed. We've got less than 2 weeks now, so let's jayo.
It's a strange one, Greg, isn't it? Because on the one hand, you want the Paralympians to be safe. You want them to enjoy the benefits of the Olympic Games just as the previous guys did. But on the other hand, you don't want to put them at risk either when cases are surging. So there's an element of, I hate to say lose-lose here, but there's an element of it's a tough call either way, isn't it, for the Paralympics coming up?
Well, I think that might be, I mean, the fact that the Paralympians already have a compromised health situation, let's be frank and honest. But at the same time, let's also remember that these guys and girls are at the top of their game. They're probably, I hate to say it, but in better shape than all three of us, you know, put together. So, you know, there's a chance that, you know,
no doubt about that,
with the Olympians. Yeah. You know, maybe there is a little added, but at the same time, I hope that's not going to be the, you know, the tipping point where people say, okay, you know, they're compromised. Let's not endanger them further. I think given the choice, I would bet you 99.9% would say, I'm going, this is my shot. Let me at it.
Yeah. Well, you had your shot, Greg, and just for the benefit of our listeners, I'd love to hear it anyway. Tell us your Paralympic story. You're a multiple gold medalist. Tell us the story.
Well, I competed in sports, in swimming since a long time ago, since 1977. I had a career from 77 to 83, and then I left because I had to get a job and live a life and did a lot of things. And then I returned, and I competed in the 1992 Barcelona, the 96 Atlanta, and the 2000 Sydney Paralympics. In fact, training in Singapore under Ang Peng Siong for 96 and 2000, you know, swimming with him in Farrer Park and ACJC. So, yeah, I have a long history with Ang Peng Siong and his team here in Singapore.
Amazing. I didn't realize he worked with Ang Peng Siong. There's a real Singapore connection there.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And you know, when you look back, you won two gold, two silver, one bronze medal. I mean, set five world records and a bunch of American records as well. Your ability in the pool is undeniable. When you think back to the week or 2 weeks prior to your Olympics experiences in 92, 96, 2000, what would have been going through your head right now during this run-up period?
I hate to say it, but this is like the critical period because, you know, you've put your years of work in, you've gotten to almost to the peak, and now it's time to, at some point, to taper, to get your body ready. You have to eat right, sleep right, do all those right things. Make sure you don't break a toenail or a finger or get sick or whatever. So this is really that last push, if you will, and you're trying to get it over the line. but make sure you don't upset any kind of apple cart in the meantime. So, you know, I can't imagine what it's like for these guys and girls to go to Tokyo and to realize that, you know, if they test positive, even if it's a false negative, they're out, they're gone.
Yeah.
And it's just, it, you know, bing, that's such a, it must be really a mind jarring reality for these athletes.
Well, that was going to be my question, Greg. The Olympics just concluded. The common soundbite from the athletes was, you know, we do our best, we put it out of our minds, we just focus on our competition, but we're all human. You've been in this position, Greg. Can they really do that? Can the Paralympians come out, can they really push the threat of COVID-19 out of their minds? Or do you think it's always going to be there lingering?
It's always going to be there, but at the same time, you don't focus on it, and, you know, you realize, I've got bigger fish to fry. I mean, if that happens, hopefully it doesn't, but, you know, I'll deal with that when it happens, one thing at a time. Let's take it, you know, one step at a time, and, you know, what do I do now? Oh, I've got to eat right. I've got to, you know, taper right. I've got to, you know, work with the team. If I'm on a relay, we've got to hand off. So, yeah, you're not looking at those things now, just like you're not looking at the stadium and going, where are the people? You know, that's, for me, I think one of the other difficult things is all these, you know, you've been in regional meets. You've been there with your mom and your brothers and sisters, and the dog was out there cheering for you. And now you don't even have that. I mean, you've got a bunch of cameras in your face, and you've got your team members. It looks like they're allowing those people into the stands. But, you know, it's hard to rally. And truth be told, and I've never swam in training as fast as I have in competition. Now, is that because, you know, I need people's tears to push me forward? Well, I would argue that, you know, being in front of 17,000 people as we were in Atlanta, and you know, they were all cheering for our team, and that really helps.
What is it?
It goes a long way.
Yeah, we're talking with Gregory Burns, the gold medal Paralympian, also professional painter, and that has been much talked about during this Olympics, the lack of anybody in the stands to cheer people on, and despite the fact that there haven't been, at least in the first round of the Olympics, a lot of records have been made and a lot of, you know, amazing performances have taken place.
Yeah.
Is there an argument to be made that, well, maybe, you know what, maybe it's not as important to have all those people in the stands based on the results that we've seen in the past couple of weeks?
Yeah, I'm sure that, you know, in fact, some of the sports are better without people in stands. I mean, I'm not going to go into, you know, guessing which ones they are. So some people are probably doing better shooting, you know, maybe you really need to concentrate, you know, that's kind of stuff. Maybe at the same time, remember that it's been 5 years. These people have have a pent up world to prove. And, you know, I think getting out there and finally getting out there, and that, I would say that that's driving it far more than with or without, you know, getting over the lack of audiences. I think just people as like, you know, we got here, we made it. It's, you know, it's like with anything, if you've been denied something and almost denied something until the end, and now they're having their shot at it. I think everything within that human being is coming to the fore right now to say, okay, this is my moment and I'm here. Let's do it.
Yeah. I think that's a great point, Greg. I mean, and it's one that has been raised by athletes at the recently concluded games, that you can't apply a one-size-fits-all mentality when it comes to crowds, because the shooters frequently perform in front of nobody. Mm. They said that. It's literally not a spectator sport. You can't see the target.
Right.
It's too far away. It's a tiny hole in a, you know, so it doesn't make any difference. I suppose, Greg, for the more blue ribbon sports, the track and field, the swimming, that's where the crowd really comes into play, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And people play on the crowd, and it's great. I mean, it is what the Olympics has been about tradition. I mean, not just but that is such a huge part of, you know, participation, audience participation, and just, you know, the opening ceremonies, the closing ceremonies, two of the, you know, the favorite moments in my life were those opening and closing ceremonies, and especially the closing at Atlanta, you know, being there with, you know, Carly Simon playing, singing, and my brother and my wife and my family there, and, you know, the team. It just, you know, and
magic,
it was such a joy.
Yeah.
Such a joy. Yeah.
Hey, Gregory, the Other issue that's really come up in this Olympics, and I want to talk about your artwork in just a moment, but the other issue that's come up has been mental health. You know, Naomi Osaka was talking about it in the lead up to and during the Olympics, and Simone Biles, of course, famously dropped out, you know, and was talking a great deal about mental health. Talk to us from your perspective about that. Is this how real are these pressures on athletes, and how should we be talking about athletes' mental health as we go forward?
It's very real. It's totally real, especially at those levels. You know, when you're standing in front of the world, you know, representing a country or whatever. I can't imagine what it is on Simone Biles. And so it's real. And the thing about hers, what she called twisties and being unsure of where she is in the air. You know, if Simone Biles was a ping pong player, and you know, I'm going to get hit in the head with a ping pong ball. You know, you could argue that okay, you can still. Yeah, but when you're flying through the air at 30 miles an hour, 30 feet above the ground, and you could become a quadriplegic and become a Paralympian in your next event. I mean, you've got to really realize there's a safety issue for some of these people big time. And so if you're not on your game and you've got the guts, as she did, and Naomi as well, to say, hey, I'm going to step away. My mental health is imperative. I totally support that. I think one thing I'm a little concerned about is the jargon and the words we're starting. You know, I heard somebody say, you know, so Simone Biles has a mental health issue. I guess that's the wordage we've got to use, right? I mean, not have to, but that's what we've come up with. But you know, it's not like she has a mental disability, because then she would be in the Special Olympics. I mean, that's in fact how the Special Olympics are. They're people with mental disabilities or mental challenges. So my concern now, I would like us to find a better nomenclature for this. What does it mean when you want to take care of your mental health, but you're not back to Anita and your last guest on the show. How do we destigmatize the idea that, hey, I'm having a bad day, week, month, or year, and I don't want to be lumped into this group of people that have, you know, these mental challenges. I don't want to be called someone with a mental challenge. So I just think we need to be, I think, sensitive and tricky on how do we define this, and what do we say when people like Simone Biles or anybody or me or you say, you know, I'm right now it's not working for me and I need some help, and I'm okay with that. You know, Michael Phelps in the movie The Weight of Gold by HBO, 50 minute. I totally recommend this for any listeners. Is the Weight of Gold movie documentary, really, that Michael Phelps talks through, and they talk about a dozen athletes who basically had the same issues that Michael Phelps and Simone Biles have, which is, you know, you get to the top of your game and like, wow, what? Now what? You're 15 seconds on the podium, and then you step away, and now where do you go? And you go to the gym first thing morning after the Olympics or Paralympics. It's like, you look at the hill, it's 4 years away, and you know that what you have to do to get there. It's like, man, you know, so just there are such challenges that athletes and, you know, these super athletes for sure, but all athletes have, you know, daily to keep themselves motivated, keep themselves going, which I think applies to business people and everybody, you know, has these, you know, why am I doing what I'm doing? What is it? Where's the return on investment? I bang my head against the wall. I was writing on a painting the other day in my studio. In fact, I've just finished working on a painting called The Lost Year with the silver lining. I mean, that's the name of my painting. And it's this idea that, you know, why do we do what we do? Where's the return on investment? And, you know, because these athletes oftentimes never see the light of day. They don't. It's the three that get on the podium, right? First, second, third. What about fourth place? I mean, I'm an expert on fourth place, man. I've got three of them. You know, where's the fourth place? You had ever heard of any of us? You know, but anyway, I digress. But that's there's the nomenclature. I think the way we talk about it is important.
Well, you mentioned your art there, and we will get to that very briefly. But I just want to ask quickly: we've got 10 athletes going to the games from Singapore. 10 Singaporean athletes are taking part in the Paralympic Games. 4 of them are making their debut. I'm not sure if you know who they are, but what would your advice be to those 10 Singaporeans about to represent the country at the Paralympics?
You know, unfortunately, or fortunately for them, the way the games are this time is there are less distractions. So my first thing is stay focused and go and do what you went there to do. Don't get sidetracked before your event is over. Once it's over, let all things loose and run and play and hide and, you know, use all those condoms or whatever. But there's a place for, you know, staying focused as you're there. And unfortunately, Tokyo is not a lot of, I mean, you're going to have the village and your venue and maybe practice. That's it. So that's a positive thing in a way, less distractions. And so that's my, just get it done. While you went there, stay the course. You know, don't lose it in the last 15 seconds because, you know, you've got food poisoning because you went to a market in the street. Again, that's not going to happen. But, so keep it. Stay focused. That's my
So hey, get Greg. It done, and then get it done with the condoms. Seems to be his advice.
I didn't say it that quite that way, but that's actually yes. Good point. Yes,
Greg. In our remaining minutes, just talk to us real quickly about the art. You are one of very few artists who is being honored by having your artwork shown at the Olympics this year. First of all, tell us where exactly it's being shown and what's okay. going on with that. We just have a few minutes left. I'm sorry to say.
I was fortunate enough to be chosen as one of the artists for the what's called the Olympic Agora. You know, the Olympics have these cultural Olympiads where they bring arts and cultures into the Olympic venue. So there are five Olympians and one Paralympian, myself. We were commissioned to do about 40-odd artworks. Mine were all the artworks are 4.5 foot wide by 10 foot. 4.5 foot high by 10 foot wide, and they're in one of the walkway areas right in the center of Tokyo right now. It's called the Olympic Agora, and I was so excited that, you know, this year I didn't get to Tokyo physically, but my paintings preceded me, and so it's there's a lot online if your listeners are interested. The Olympic Agora. I had six paintings, all Olympic charged weightlifters, swimmers, people on the podium, runners, hurdlers. So it's been I was just so tickled that that my artwork could be featured in the Agora. You know, my days competing are behind me, but my years of exhibiting are certainly ahead of me as well. So I'm very excited about that. And if people are interested, they can see it online, and I can put some links up as well, or you have some links there.
I have some in there, but do put the Olympic Agora link in there for people to have a look at that.
Yeah, wonderful. Okay. And if you could put all the links in, that'd be absolutely fantastic. I'm fascinated by your advice on that, Greg. If you could sum it up for our athletes and their families who may be listening, what about the families back home? What would your advice be for them? The families watch; they can't attend, so they've got to watch from home.
Yeah, they can't go. They're going to watch from home, and just, you know, stay in touch on WhatsApp or phone or whatever. You know, just keep encouraging them and reminding them. You know, stay focused. Do what you went there to do, and we love you. We support you, and that's what families do. That's critical as well. So that's a big piece of everybody, because those athletes are competing for their family and their country and themselves. So it's great to have that support.
Yeah. Hey, Greg, how do people get in touch with you? You do a lot of work with corporates. Great. You know, you bring art jams in the corporate environment and have been doing that for years. How do people get in touch with you if they want to get more information?
Here in Singapore, just call me. It's 9373-9473. But you can go to my website. Was that an ad? But you can go to my website, which is a very simple, you know, www.gregoryburns.com, or just email me at gregory@gregoryburns.com.
Hey, Greg, thanks so much. Gregory Burns, Paralympian, gold medalist. Great to have you with us today.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.